D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most.
They're doing real good, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son,
hello,
Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
What's up?
How many times have I heard this song? I'm still laughing at what this dude says.
I love this podcast.
You know, Wesley, if we could get you to do the voiceover like that, we could save some money and get Jim off the whole payroll. Hey, welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live from the SEC Sports Pub. With me to my right, Heath Elson-Son. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. On the board, Wesley Coleman. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, we'll be talking more Saints, playoff Saints, and useless information than anyone needs to know. So grab a drink, sit back. From Rustin to Monroe, Farmersville to Jonesboro, we're going to do some Saints football playoff style. You like that? I kind of switched it up a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, like, look, 20-14, the Saints are playing a completely different style of football, and they're doing it very well, and they're winning. So, man, now we're on to the third NFC championship game in Saints history. All within the last 13 years, if my math serves me correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
He's still stunned. He's still stunned from the improbable. No, it wasn't improbable. The way the game went down, the Saints allowed the Eagles to jump on them, get a 14-point lead, a couple of mistakes, a couple of things went wrong. Next thing you know, the Eagles didn't score another point for the last three quarters of the game, and the Saints pull off a 20-14 victory. Now, I think the game was a little bit more in hand than you would be led to believe. A couple of other little mistakes that went on, that unlikely missed field goal that we aren't accustomed to, or the Saints would have had that game put away. But Lattimore comes up with an interception at the end of the game and puts us in a position to run the clock out and get to that second one that we've hosted, NFC Championship game, third total. Heath, how excited are you, man?
I'm excited.
I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell.
I am just overcome with joy.
Right. Tomas?
Yes, sir?
We're just taking a poll here, getting our level of excitement.
I'm holding
I feel like y'all should be more enthusiastic right now.
You see, Dave.
That was 2 days
this
ago,
is the
Dave.
Problem that you always had. You're always premature.
Yeah.
So, isn't
well,
that
clearly
true?
Clearly, he's more talented at taking a poll than we are as well.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, he takes a poll and he's premature.
Man.
That's a hell of a combination.
Now, who's responsible? I say, who's responsible for this unwarranted attack on my person?
So, I'm just saying, Dave, you have to pace yourself, brother.
Okay, pace myself.
That's
check.
Right.
Got it.
You have
got
to
it.
Take your time.
All right.
Enjoy the ride.
Okay, so. Okay. I feel you. I'm good with it. I don't know. Hey, do you I see you don't have your information in front of you.
Right here, bro.
We have a
right
pick 'em
here,
contest.
Right here.
Wow, he is on top of it. Let me tell you the sacrifice.
Do you see who number two is?
All right. Listen, let's talk about some other stuff. I want y'all to know around the country, around the world, people listening to the BS and Beer show here, that I took one for the team. I went 0-4 last week. Okay, and that
did
set.
Did you do it again this week?
It set a. But let me tell you how I did it.
Yes.
After the first three games, well, actually, after the first two games, and then I started watching the Patriots Charger game.
Yeah.
I realized I was on my way to 0-3.
You were.
And the other pick was the Saints.
So you went and changed
it. And I went and changed it to
just
pick,
so it could be 0-4.
Well, just to make sure, it just seemed like it was due. So
nice.
I'm like,
yeah.
I didn't want it to be. I didn't want it to be 1-3.
Nice.
So I went and I picked the Eagles. And wait a minute, did I win that? No, I think I must have lost it. Yeah, I'm 0-4. I'm 0-4.
Okay.
It was 6 points? No, it was 8 points.
No, it was eight points.
I lost.
So I actually
game.
Won. Okay,
so
that's
won it,
that
yes.
whole story
yeah.
completely irrelevant.
I'm
yes.
sitting here going, well, if you change,
so
then
what
you
was
won.
The point?
I thought I took one for the team, but actually I won one. So
man, you took sad. One from the team instead.
All right,
but
so
if you want to hear the standings,
let's get
I'm
the
more than ready.
Let's get the update.
Let's get the update. Here it is. In first place with two games to go, Rob 22278. In third place, Jay-Z picks. Fourth, Bon Scott. Fifth, Who Dat 2018. Sixth, Lord Boudreaux. Seventh, Cajun Tigerman 01. That's the first time I think I heard that one. Eighth, Who Dat Fisherman. Ninth, Carolina Saints fan. And 10th, Orion. I noticed that I skipped who's in second place.
I did notice that.
Yes.
I didn't notice that.
All right, so on to second place.
We all noticed it.
Thank you very much. What can I say?
On to the next segment.
I knew you were ready.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Don't throw your shoulder out patting yourself on the back, though. Oh, look at him. He got good flexibility.
Hey, all right.
All right. So, man, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. I mean, not only Saints, but NFL playoffs. A lot of stuff that went on. We got to talk about the Rams and our rematch.
Yes.
I mean, we got John Hendricks going to come on and talk a little football with us here at the bottom of the hour. And don't forget the MyBookie picks, where you could follow me.
Are they still
I don't
paying
even
us
know.
Or not, man?
Yeah, they paying us.
You Look, sure?
Yeah, I got a whole new thing here.
You got a check?
Y'all ready?
Because I mean, if you got a check, okay. But if you ain't got no check, you know.
They send us the $6 every week.
$6.
Oh man, I'm telling you. Listen, you don't have this kind of. This kind of equipment and this kind
man,
of setup.
I think a silver slipper would pay us more than that,
no,
bro.
We need to go kick old Bobby and them out of
man,
there.
Get them out of there, man.
Yeah, get them out. Get them out.
Get
them
the
out.
Silver
Gotta sweep. Go. Gotta go. The SEC
Speaking of all that corporate money, Dave, I emailed you about you and using the BS and Beer airplane to fly to the game in NOLA this weekend, and you haven't said anything back. Is the plane available this weekend?
Fuel cost is high, man. Fuel cost is high. It's high. So, you know, we could talk about it after we take our break and we can see what we can do. There's some fringe benefits and stuff. I don't know why this gets put on me. The budget is set.
Because you're the host.
It's the budget is set.
I know. So, therefore, Wesley should be able to use the plane. And we're all going to fly to Atlanta. I mean, I thought that's what the deal was. I thought that was the perk.
See, I don't know. We have to do that.
See,
we have to do that. After we pull down this
picture. Especially after the mayor of Atlanta said.
He did.
Anyone except for the Saints.
Everybody's welcome except for the Saints.
And my thought is this. We go to the Super Bowl in Atlanta, in the Sphincter Dome,
mm-hmm.
and we play against the New England Patriots. And we win 28-3.
I like it.
And then we have a party. We have a party like Atlanta's never seen a party before.
Like it's 1999.
That's right, brother. That's the way I'm thinking about it.
All right.
All right, go ahead.
So, well, I was just thinking.
I'll pick up more on that
later. Like Robinson said, he's Cam Jordan, dog. Sheldon Rankins, dog.
Dog.
Now you put me on the spot, man. Lattimore.
Dog.
Apple.
Dog.
Williams.
Dog.
Williams.
Dog.
Davis.
Yeah.
Dog.
Dog.
Anzalone.
There you go.
Dog.
Anything else? Did I miss anybody? Who's some reserve? Oh, we got a new one. What's his name?
Walker.
Walker.
Tyrone Walker.
Puppy.
Puppy. All right. Well, he
old dog.
Okay, so we signed Tyrone Walker. Unfortunately,
yeah. Rankins ruptured Achilles.
Yeah, and that's a big loss. But having said that, what happened to Walker? Because when he left the Saints, didn't he go to Minnesota and he was doing pretty well?
No, he went to Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah, that's right.
He and was four games into his first season with Detroit, he broke his fibula and spent the rest of the year on IR.
There okay. You go.
Now, he played the next year.
And who says this guy got nothing? Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Keep going.
Go ahead.
He played 2016 with Detroit.
Yeah.
And in 2017, he was with the Rams for a couple of months.
And then he floated around.
Yeah. And then they had him for a couple of months, and then he was gone, and then he came back, I think. 2018, this year, he spent a grand total of about 2 weeks in training camp with the Buffalo Bills.
And that's it, huh?
That's it.
Well, the thing about it is you can't expect too much from anybody that you're getting off the street at this time of year. And, you know, look, somebody thought enough. I thought he was a solid backup.
He was an undrafted free agent. He looked good for the Saints.
A homeboy from Louisiana.
He obviously caught the attention. He made, you know, he
got a contract.
Yeah, he got a contract. Now, you know, if it was a knee, I'd say, well, maybe he just never regained form after the injury. I don't, you know, typically with a broken fibula, you wouldn't necessarily expect that to be a lingering
right
that would, you know, take away his ability to play the same. I don't know, maybe he was not able to maintain whatever he had going on.
Maybe he went to Ashner now, like one leg
that's true, might still be broken.
So, I mean, don't underestimate the fact that he also knows the name of 60% of the starters on our defense.
All he got to do is
get him in the face.
So. All he got to do is say dog.
It's a natural fit.
Dog. Yeah. Dog. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. Wall-to-wall Saints talk when we come back.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, fellas, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. Visit MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. And don't forget, you play, you win, you get paid.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast crew talking wall-to-wall Saints. And you know how we usually start off this second segment? That's right. It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. You a bounty hunter? Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for good and the bad and the ugly.
All right, so we got the good. There's so much to talk about. I mean, there's so many elements to this game. Starts off good or starts off bad and ends up good and all the things in between, the plays that were made, some of the statistical things that went on. Heath, you want to start off?
I do.
You like to do that.
Yeah. No, I'll start off this time because I'm going to go back to what I said before this game took place. My bad was the rust, the fact that they were out of sync. Discombobulated it to start this game after not having, you know, most of the starters not having played for essentially 3 weeks.
You know what? I didn't believe in that. I did not believe in the rest over rust thing. I mean, I'm not saying there won't be a little bit, but now I completely – there are a lot of things as I grow older in this world that I hear it and I'm like, ah, and then I'm starting to believe it. And I do believe in rust because, quite frankly, let's look all the way back to the first quarter. Not only get, you know, 14 points getting scored. Look how they got scored. P.J. Williams losing the ball and basically just dropping coverage. But even worse than that, after 14, there was a series of plays where there was a false start. I have it here on my notes. So you had, where was it? You had a fumble snap, a penalty to start the drive on the kickoff. So we start at the 8-yard line. Then we had a fumble snap, a delay game. Then we had a big conversion, and it was a third and long, and then we had a strip sack. The thing that terrifies me, even to this moment, if any one of those things would have resulted in the Saints turning the ball over and it was, you know, 21-0 or, you know, 17-0,
yeah.
I think that it would have it really would have been more, obviously, much more difficult to climb out of that hole.
Yeah.
But mentally getting down 21-0 in the first quarter, you talking about the 49er game back in, when was that, 11?
Yeah,
where,
11.
You know, we got in such a big hole that, but anyway, that to me
was
the scariest
part. It's
more than
just a points thing.
Right.
The mental hurdle, but, you know, anyway, so that's
right.
Mine.
Tomas?
Well, first let me address your scenario here. I'm going to tell you this. If it's ifs and buts were candy and nuts, you'd be in jail.
Okay, so if that ball hits the ground and everybody's jumping on it, you know, it's just it wasn't an if.
You can't speculate about what if.
I'm not talking about.
Well, what happened was enough.
If they
what
would
did
have,
happen was enough.
I'm not saying if they would have thrown an interception. I'm saying the ball was on the ground.
So you see, this is perfect for my bad. Since we're skipping the goods.
I know. Well, the bad is that Heath went into the bad instead of the good.
Oh, that's right. We do the good.
I was like, I guess
I'm new to this show. What do I know?
Somebody didn't say, "Hey, no goods today. We're just bads." So, but I'll go with the bads, okay? And it's perfect to what my good friend here came up with.
Who, me?
Yes, you complain about all this stuff. I want the fans to know that our offensive line is beat up. And I'm going to give a bad, but in a Michael Jackson kind of way, kind of bad.
Don't grab
the
that.
Andres Pete. Because we, as a collective group, were all over Pete about, man, he sucks. He's not playing worth the crap here. You know, what's his problem? Okay. The man played with a broken hand. He had the hand operated. It has a hunk of metal inside of it. But you know what? That bone is still in pieces. So every time he put his hand on the guy who was rushing, I couldn't have done it. I would have been in tears. He sucked it up. So I'm going to give him a bad, as in a bad man, in that even with the penalties he had, he did a really good job. There you go. That's my bad.
Well, okay. Here's the thing is the dude did have a pretty bad broken hand. I mean, at what point it's not a bad broken hand. You know, it's a pretty bad injury, especially for an offensive lineman.
Exactly.
The thing that frustrated me, and I'm sure that it was mental.
And notice he didn't have a club on.
No, he didn't.
Only had
he had
a glove.
He had a glove. It was like a field hockey glove.
Yeah,
but we talked about that. He didn't have the big Q-tip hand going on.
Right.
But the thing about it is that, okay, so I'm sure that some of the things that went on and got in his head, and then he has the mental errors. It wasn't just the physical errors.
Yeah, it's because he can't grab anybody.
Well,
so he's got to get off as soon as he can.
But, Tomas, I agree with you. And so now those things start making him think, I got to do something different.
Yes, I understand.
The problem that I did have that it's just a little bit unexcusable, there were times where it wasn't just a guy getting by him and holding or false start. There were at least two occasions where I saw him like get thrown back, like literally going backwards on one foot, kind of almost getting knocked over. And
yeah, you have a ball peen hammer in the house?
I'll break your hand
and let's see how balanced you are.
No. I'll just assume that you're right on that one.
Right.
So we'll save the ball peen hammer for later.
I agree. He definitely was hurt. Typically, when he has Armstead to his left and Unger to his right and not another backup or whatever, he's solid.
Yeah.
He wasn't solid in this game, with the hand issue. My question is, and I saw this brought up, I think, on Twitter, was what does that say about the backup options at guard? In other words, the game that Pete had was still apparently better than what they thought anybody else.
Well, Clapp was inactive.
Right.
Well, right, but Tom was available. So
yeah,
at what point in
that
game?
We only got one guy left.
Well, Pete can come back in a game. I mean, it's not like he can't check back in if it don't go well.
That's true. But, I'm just saying to you.
I'm just surprised they didn't say, hey, look, you literally had surgery within the past week. Let's see if this guy can, let's try to keep you,
Maybe the man was like, dude, no, I'm going to play.
That's possible too. So,
and the thing is, there's a lot to be said about cohesiveness, and
yes.
I'm sure the coaches didn't expect it to be that bad. And when the game's gone kind of the way you hoped it's going, and I think the Saints wanted that, that punch him in the mouth kind of game. I forgot that big old padded thing on there. You never know. Maybe that glove's loaded. Maybe he's like the Kabuki back in the day. Just. Close it up by banging on the table.
I haven't broken my hand, but I can tell you that when I messed up my ankle.
You didn't kick nobody.
No, sir. And that boot didn't really help all that much. I got news for you.
It looks intimidating.
Yeah, but not really.
I'm really trying to make an excuse for Pete and why they kept him in. Look, I don't know. So, you know what? I'm going to move on. He played well.
I just wanted to throw that out there that he was hurt for the entire time and he sucked up the pain to be there.
Absolutely. Now I'm sure that they helped him out with some medication on that.
The question now is how much is another week going to help him if at all?
That's the question.
Maybe they rub some Ambisol on it or something.
Because
like
we got some other pretty stout dudes coming up here.
That's where I was trying to segue into talking about Aaron Donald. He actually played well against Aaron Donald.
Yep.
Back in our first matchup, and you wonder because if Aaron Donald gets loose, man, he can destroy the entire.
Now I'm going to say this. I mean, you look at their line. I mean, Aaron Donald, Sue, Brockers, Fowler, who they got.
From Jacksonville.
But the other thing is, Donald hasn't made a whole lot of noise lately. Not just in the game against the Saints, but the truth is at the latter part of the season here.
It's been kind of quiet.
Donald has been, in the games I'm watching, they're literally saying, we haven't talked much about Donald today. I mean, he really has been a little bit invisible lately, so.
Well, I don't know.
Let's hope he keeps it that way.
Definitely hope. All right, Wesley, we've taken up a lot of the time here. Let's see what you got.
What's your bad, brother?
Well, so, I mean, penalties was going to be my bad, obviously, but y'all covered that quite a bit. 11 penalties for 84 yards is kind of horrible, and then there was a couple missed calls. But my bad, since y'all talked about that enough, I'll say underthrows. This could have been, a 32-14 or 32-7 game pretty easily with – couple of long throws would have been thrown, you know, 2 to 4 yards more. That takes away one interception and adds a touchdown on the first play of the game.
There's a
14 point swing right there. And then obviously we ended up scoring later on the drive where the Taysom Hill ball was underthrown. But I mean, could have been some more points instead of a field goal. Could have been a touchdown right there as well.
Was that the one where he hit Kamara, but he came back?
Drew Brees didn't even have to underthrow it. Like, if he'd have let him more. If as far as he could throw it was the 52 yards he threw it, he could have let him more across the field because there was nobody within 4 yards of Taysom.
You're right, but are you talking about when the Brees interception or?
Well, Brees underthrowing Ginn on the first play, and then he underthrew Taysom Hill later. As well.
Oh, right.
He underthrew him even worse because Hill had that guy beat by 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah.
Right.
He had to stop running at the 10-yard line.
The thing about Drew Brees now, and listen, I want to say this first because I'm going to say some negative stuff, but at the end of the day, yes, he has lost his ability to throw just a deep ball. He's never been a strong-arm guy, but I wouldn't trade him. Look, he hits everything but that. Now, don't tell me for a second that doesn't get into the defender's head and that didn't help Thomas have a huge day, 170-plus yards receiving.
Yeah.
The point is that the Saints were being aggressive. They were going over the top. A lot of times you see the Saints struggle in the passing game. It's because they're not even trying to go over the top, and that defense just keeps squeezing the line of scrimmage more and more and more.
Yeah.
And now they throw a couple of balls, and, yeah, one of them was intercepted, but they know in the back of their head that guy was beat. So
yeah.
Brees now, in order for him to complete that pass, it has to be in time. What he did on that play, he looked to his left, he looked center, and then he let the ball loose.
Yeah.
1 second late.
And it was just a half a step late.
Hey, you know what? And when did Ginn come back? Was that the last week of the season? So they did play.
Against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, because my thought was, A, the rust of not playing 3 weeks, but also Brees hasn't really been throwing to Ginn for a while, you know, obviously when he was out.
Right.
Ginn's faster than anybody else that he's. Well,
one of the things that I saw during the game that I kind of got frustrated, and this was when everything was going wrong, and I don't know if I was being fair, but I thought to myself, like, why doesn't Ginn throw on the brakes? Then I heard, and God, I wish I could remember, but listening to New Orleans local media, it might have been Bobby Hebert, talking about how Ginn just kind of takes off and starts running, and he kind of made the point I was thinking, so maybe I am right, is that Ginn takes off running. He's not really he doesn't look back. He wants the ball coming over his shoulder and run it down. And there are those guys that are just pure speed guys who want the ball over their shoulder and chase it down and catch it. They got the speed to do that. Then there's a guy, let's say Michael Thomas, is more the guy who look back and high point a ball because he's not going to outrun the guy. So he's going to have a guy right there in his hip. Yeah. He's going to jump up in the air, make a play on it. And what I really would like to have seen with Ginn is him throw on the brakes and let the guy just run him over and get a flag. But for whatever reason, he doesn't do that. And listening to those guys talk about it made me kind of realize that that's just not one of his strengths, which is to, you know, stop and be playing the ball. He's more of a run fast as you can, let the ball come to you and chase it down.
Yeah.
And another thing that Lance Moore said when he was being interviewed over the last couple of days, they interviewed Lance Moore, and he said that one of the problems is that a lot of these guys are not looking up for the ball. Instead, they're looking back to the quarterback. And he said he's noticed this with the young kids that are playing with the team, that when they think that they're open or they think the ball's already in the air,
right?
And they're looking back at Drew instead of looking up at the air for the ball. So, not that doesn't necessarily play into Ginn's issue, but there were some other issues in there. Like you were talking about how PJ got beat. I think PJ got beat because he looked back at the quarterback instead of looking up at the air where the ball was. And so he had no idea where the ball was, and so the receiver kept running, caught the ball, looked like
That one was. You know? I mean, he was with the guy all the way down to about the 3-yard line, and then inexplicably, he just stopped
because I don't think he knew where the ball was, and he just stopped and said, "Where's the ball?" You know.
I thought somebody explained it that when PJ looked back, the reason he was looking into the flat instead of in the pocket is because it was looking to be a zone release, and Marcus Williams was actually trailing the play where he should have been over there in front of that receiver. Marcus Williams was supposed to be that deep zone, and PJ was looking back at the flat, and he wasn't even looking back at the quarterback. He was looking at the flat to see if there was somebody he needed to release and go get.
I know he wasn't looking up. That was the thing. Right. He wasn't looking up. And I watched the game again. He wasn't looking up to the ball.
And that kind of does explain some stuff, and it puts in perspective that, because he just kind of gave up on the route, and you still.
Well, that was
he
the first thing you said after the play was where was the safety?
And that's something.
Yeah. You see him come in late. He came in late.
Right. When he had a bad angle. At the end of the day, Marcus Williams playing a deep third should have at least tackled him somewhere around the 10-yard line, but he had a horrible angle as well. So
only late, but he was coming from behind. Like he was just weird.
Yeah. Right, and just very weird kind of play. Absolutely. So my bad is going to be the Saints, who continue to give up touchdowns on the first drive, and maybe that wouldn't be so perplexing if they wouldn't stop them the entire rest of the game. So here's something I saw on Twitter that made my eyes bug out. And a gentleman named Eric Ray, I'm not sure who he is, but he gets some information here. He says, Saints defense allowed just 5 points in the fourth quarter of the last 6 ball games combined. And one of those games, we weren't playing the starters, and that's game 17.
Final game, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the other was 2 points that we gave up on a 2-point conversion that Drew Brees threw an interception.
Yeah.
They ran it back.
So we gave up a field goal in week 17 when nobody was playing in Carolina.
Right.
And we gave up a return 2-point conversion.
That the offense
is the only
gave
other
up.
2 points in the last 6 games.
So that tells me, like, if we can figure out a way somehow.
Start fast. Well, that's
to prevent these guys from scoring.
How long has this been a theme with this team in one way or another?
Season.
We start slow in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
We start slow in the beginning of the games. You know,
so just suck it up. No, that's going to be our game plan.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's one of the things, because I even said it. I'm like, we're down 14, and I was uncomfortable. Don't get me wrong, but I'm like, we still fine, man. We still fine. We just got to score, get on the board, get things going, and that's when I started believing in Rust. I believe in it now. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. When we come back, we got John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast. Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast crew. With me, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, that game, not what we're accustomed to, not like the last game that we played against the Eagles. This time, the Saints get down early, and it's a dogfight throughout the entire game.
Yeah, I really like what you said there, a dogfight, because that's exactly what we had dealt with. And look, you know, of course, the Eagles, I mean, out from the gate, Saints were trying to see about, hey, let's open things up. I think they had a good play call with Ted Ginn Jr. and Drew Brees on the field of ball, and Eagles were able to cash in, march down the field, and, you know, Saints offense just got totally ineffective in the first quarter, and the defense couldn't do anything to stop the Eagles, and they go up 14-0, and it's just like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be it, right? And this is how it's going to end. But, you know, thankfully, Marshawn Lattimore was able to get them back in the game. That guy was killer going forward on the fake punt. And then, you know, Taysom Hill, another game where he kind of helped spark the things going. And the conversion of Kirkwood and when Luck missed that field goal, we're just like, oh, my gosh, held on to your butt because you know, I know a lot of people probably thinking Minnesota Miracle Part 2, but this time in New Orleans.
Well, one of the things, and you kind of alluded to it, early in the game, the Saints struggling offensively, but one of the things that I felt is that for the first time in maybe most of the second half of the season, we weren't seeing that vertical passing game. And I have to believe that just the threat of it, Ted Ginn was open even though Brees overthrew it, opens up a lot of the underneath stuff that Michael Thomas took advantage of and had a huge game.
Yeah, I mean, monstrous game, you know, and I just joke, not necessarily joke, but, you know, I said it last year. I said, you know, Michael Thomas has a good opportunity here, and I think he needs to become the new Larry Fitzgerald, and just because of what he's been able to do, and he took it to another level in the postseason last year. And look, I mean, he came out there and absolutely just hammered the Eagles. I mean, the secondary couldn't have any answers for him. I mean, it was just one thing after another with him that he was just able to find that success, keep that success. And, I mean, look, he had a career day, and Drew Brees after the game, he talked about it at length again, saying how much chemistry he has and how great Michael Thomas is and just the fact that these guys playing together so well. I mean, you swear they're Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, or Steve Young, and Jerry Rice, whatever combination you want to pull into play, they play like it. And I mean, look, if the offense sputters and they aren't able to get much else going, then you're suddenly a little bit more worried, but they're going to have to play their best game against the Rams because Rams are going to try to – it's going to be like what we had seen before.
Well, one of the things that I thought offensively that we struggled a bit early, the Eagles' defensive line, defensive front seven, played extremely well. And Andres Pete seemed to struggle quite a bit. Now, he's coming off of a surgery where he had a broken hand. It was just revealed maybe a couple of days ago that he actually had surgery during the bye week. So it had to hamper him a little bit. But we had a hard time early in the game handling their front seven.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I know some of where everybody else's heads at is the injuries and all this other stuff that you want to go point out to. But, you know, when Fletcher Cox wasn't in the game, huge difference in the running game and just everything they were able to do. And just overall, I feel like with Pete, you know, with the fast touch interviews, things like that, that Sean obviously hates and says, you know, we'll get that cleaned up and such. But, you know, you see it after the fact that Pete, there's a legitimate reason that he's struggling. And more is the fact that he toughed it out. I mean, that's another part of it. But, you know, look, I think, again, you got a tougher task at hand with a very talented Rams team that's going to look to, avenge the loss. The same storylines that there were last week, you got the same ones this week. But, I feel like Pete, I thought at one point they could have merged Cameron Tom on the field and maybe played him, see what happens.
Yeah, and that may not, at that point, have been a bad idea. Now, one of the things, I don't know where you stand on this, but I know that I have come around because I'm not sure I truly believed in the whole rust theory. So rest versus rust. Now, I'm a believer, John. I'm a complete believer. The Saints started off slow. The first quarter got down 14-0. We already discussed it. And then, quite frankly, they completely dominated the Eagles the rest. Maybe not necessarily the score doesn't look like it, because we didn't get that 48-7 blowout. But from the second quarter on, the score was 20-0.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, after that, I think it was the two Eagles touchdown drives, and then they had interception, punt, and then interception and close out the game. So, I mean, you got to credit Dennis Allen, the defense, and, again, everybody just being able to rally around it, not getting rattled. We've seen them come back over the last several playoff games. You know, they did it against the Vikings. It didn't go their way. They did it against the Seahawks in the 2013 season. It didn't go their way. I mean, this is a team that, you know, you give them a chance, they'll come back and they'll do what they got to do. But, you know, for the defense to just turn it on and do that, also with losing Sheldon Rankins, which is going to be a gigantic loss against the Rams, and, you know, if they can crack into the Super Bowl, it's unfortunate, but Taylor Stallworth, Tyler Davison, David Onyemata all came to play. They were able to do things. Didn't get the sacks that you wanted on Foles, but then again, you got him to hold on to the ball a little bit more and kind of push the pocket a little bit more later, and that's all you can hope for with a guy like that who wants to get the ball so quickly.
All right. Well, you mentioned Rankins, and that was a question I was going to ask. Obviously, he was having his best season so far, and he's always been a productive player, but this year we were starting to see the big plays out of him. Matter of fact, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, he closed that game out forcing a fumble. His loss, are the Saints going to be able to find a way to replace his production? How are they going to go about, you know, replacing him in general?
I know your heart goes out to my end, and the guys they were quick to talk about him. I mean, Cam Jordan was a guy who said, man, I depend on him as far as the pass rush to open up things and such. So, you know, on one breath you say, hey, a guy like Taylor Stallworth, who showed some flashes, he's going to get some more playing time. Onyemata's kind of been there. Davison, I mean, this is his final year of his contract, so he's got a lot to prove out there. And you know, I imagine that they're going to bring somebody up or somebody off the street to fill that void. But, look, you know, I think it's a concern. I think with what the Rams run game brings, that's what concerns me most, because it's not just Todd Gurley, it's C.J. Anderson. But, you know, it's unfortunate for Rankins. He goes into the final year of his contract, and that's going to be a no-brainer pick up his fifth year, so fans shouldn't really worry about it. But, you know, with an Achilles injury, you saw it with Alex Okafor last year getting hurt early in the season, They took their time with him, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's not ready by training camp or even a preseason next year.
Yeah, that's a true story. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the Rams. Now, if you kind of break down the Rams game earlier in the season, the Saints jumped on them pretty quickly and pretty much dominated the first half. Now, if you understand how NFL teams operate, there's much about that that makes me wonder if the Saints didn't, I don't want to say take their foot off the pedal, because I don't believe that's the case, but once you get that big lead, now it's just a matter of managing the game and getting the game over with and walking away with a win. Do you see the Saints, much like the Eagles the first time, having a different type of game plan? Do you see the outcome of the game being different or the flow of the game being different? Give me your input on what you expect to see next Sunday against the Rams.
Definitely, I mean, I don't know, say, what transpired the last one. I would expect these teams to come out and just really try to get a feel for each other. I don't know if the offense and the gates are going to open up completely. You know, I think so much against this Eagles team, again, talented front seven, hinges on the health of this offensive line. And then you got Armstead that we didn't really even talk about and mention that was so key in there for him. And, you know, obviously Pete Tough through the injury. But, you know, at the same time, again, you got the usual suspects coming to town with Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, and then Dante Fowler's playing some pretty good ball, and Michael Brocker. So I'm interested most to see how they're able to get some push in the run game. You know, keep them honest, because I think the Saints' run game could find some success. I think they got to lean on that right side, because it just wasn't there for them in the interior, and maybe that's some of the play calling. But, you know, overall, I see this game as kind of a back-and-forth, cat-and-mouse game. I know that this team fed off the crowd on Sunday. It showed they were absolutely loud as this could be, and I only expect it to be more. But, you know, I feel like this is going to be one of those pins and needles in NFC Championship games. But one versus two, you can't really ask for much better.
No, pretty much it reminds me, again, so much symmetry between 2009 and this year. You're back in a situation where you have the number two seed like the Vikings were back then, a very good team. It's going to be a battle, but I feel optimistic, because I think the Saints now have the best defense remaining in the playoffs. The Rams have the big names, but they've yet to put it together. They looked really good against Dallas, so it's going to be interesting to see if they can replicate that defensive effort. Maybe guys with these big names that kind of turn it on and get bored during the regular season. So I'm a little nervous, but I feel like the Saints have proven defensively that they can match up with anyone.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny you bring that up, because I mentioned that on your show last week, just talking about how they had this paid talent, and you know, the focal point of the Dallas offense was to Ezekiel Elliott, and you got to isolate him and make Dak Prescott beat you. So, I mean, and that's exactly what they were able to do. Wade Phillips was able to make it work. You know, but again, that's one part of the equation. I just feel like the Saints defense all year, and no matter what, they've just been so under the radar, and I think it's because they just don't have the big names that flash out at you besides Cam Jordan. And that's not a knock or anything against them. It's just that they don't have the big names like the Aaron Donalds or the Keith Tlaibs or Marcus Peters and all those guys that are the big top, you know, top of their class as far as the names, the ones that get in the Pro Bowl or the NFL's top 100, the popularity contest.
John, thank you so much, my friend. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back. More wall-to-wall Saints talk.
Well, it's your old buddy Chef Pierre Gautreaux. Y'all gather around the radio and we're going to listen to some BS and Beer podcast. Ooh, ça c'est bon, that's a good show, yeah.
Not actually supposed to bite. You're doing it wrong.
What? Hey, get off my male pattern baldness.
The two of you, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I have no issue.
At least my baldness is purposeful.
Mine's by choice.
All right. Yeah. Hey, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio on the board, Wesley Coleman, and we're talking wall-to-wall Saints. Listen, since we're talking wall to wall Saints, let's talk Rams Cowboys. I don't know. Maybe I could have led
just
into that a little bit better.
But go ahead.
Dang. All right. So the Cowboys playing the Rams,
the Cowgirls,
in LA. And, you know, I watched the game on Saturday. I think that I kind of was snoozing on that game and I should have been paying closer attention. I watched it again today. And, I mean, with 2 minutes left, the Cowboys were within one score.
Yeah.
And so all this talk that I'm hearing, and I swear, I know I talked about this last week, the local media kind of gives you an idea of what's going on. They review the game. They tell you what they think's going to happen. The national media sells you on something.
Right.
They're like, they have an agenda, and they're like, their agenda is the Saints are not going to go. Everybody the Saints are playing, there's some reason the Saints cannot beat them. And maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing, and I don't know if I believe in this and the whole, you know, under-the-radar thing. At the end of the day, maybe it upsets you a little more. You'd be more focused at practice. But they're just not getting any love. Anyway, the Rams, they did run the ball. And Cowboys, number 5, defense against the run. The Rams did run quite a bit on them. But quite frankly,
but after, how did they run?
I mean, with their legs and hold the ball and stuff. I mean, you want, go ahead. Jump in there, Tomas. I obviously saw that wrong.
They ran up the middle. They did not try to hit the edges because Dallas can get you at the edges. And so they ran up. That's why they hired the guy who weighs 285 pounds who hasn't played in a long time. They just hand him the ball like a big old bowling ball, and he goes up the middle. He makes one cut, and then that's all he's good for. He's either going to cut left or right, and that's it. And they're going to hit it and push people. You know, he gets 6, 7, 10, whatever happens to
him. And he was effective.
Right.
I tell you what, he was effective.
Right. But he's not going to beat the speed of the Cowboys to the outside.
So, Dave, I rewatched the game yesterday, too. And I guess – and I probably didn't pay attention like I should have on Saturday. Had a bunch of things going on, too. So I watched it enough. But when I rewatched it, you know, even though Jared Goff went 15 for 28 – I didn't think that the Cowboys' defense necessarily played that good against
no,
the pass.
They did.
The Rams looked bad. And at the same time, where the Cowboys, their 22 was pretty sloppy, I didn't think that the Rams' defense played all that well either. I mean,
no.
Dak Prescott
no.
just had a – the two quarterbacks were both highly inaccurate.
Yes.
It both had happy feet all around the pocket, moving when they shouldn't have or not moving when they should have. Like, I just thought both quarterbacks played terribly, and I didn't want these defenses to get credit for – you
yeah.
know, an okay game.
That game played out like a lot of these other playoff games we've seen. It's almost which team doesn't want to wants to lose the most. I mean, it's like it's not good play. You're not watching a good battle, defensive battle on
right.
both sides. But you're looking at two pathetic offenses.
Except for the New England
bumble
game.
And stumble. Yeah, except for New England. But yeah.
Maybe I'm having a hard time accepting, like, the Rams throughout the first, you know, half of the season, maybe even further, two-thirds of the season, were an explosive offensive team, and they've all of a sudden kind of hit the wall. Now, listen, I don't want to take anything from Dallas because Dallas put it to us. They play good defense and against us. So, and I mean, listen.
They did not play that kind of defense against the Rams.
I agree with that. So I don't know where I'm going with this to say I do agree. It didn't look like two great defenses or two great offenses. But I'm having a hard time accepting that the Rams just really aren't that good offensively anymore. Is Cooper Kupp
yes.
really that important?
Yes. Yes, he's the Mike Thomas of their team.
Think
about it.
I mean, I'm not.
Cook is just like Ginn. Cook is just going to go down the field.
Right.
He's the guy who's going to blow
the top
off.
I agree with that.
So the guy who was catching all the balls was Cooper Kupp. You know? And so without them, they're a different team. I will also say to you that at the beginning of the season, just like the Saints, our offensive line was intact, healthy, good to go. So was the Rams. So was everybody. This is why at the end of the season, you start seeing that the scores aren't these big blowouts.
Sure.
And you see that, you know, the games are being played differently. You know? So the Rams, without Cooper Kupp, are more a running team than a passing team. That's the big difference.
Okay, now I don't know if that's necessarily because of Cooper Kupp,
I think,
or if it was by choice.
No, I think.
Well, they pointed it out during the game that the Rams are actually run every bit as much as Dallas does.
Yeah,
I think the difference is they're not getting the production out of the passing, the percentage that they are as opposed to before.
Yeah.
Now, how much of that's Kupp and all? I mean, apparently, but
so tying together our last two conversations, this is a game that the Saints cannot start slow. Not on offense, not on defense. This is a team that when we played them before, they had to be throwing against us because we scored 35 points in the first half.
Right.
They were only rushed the ball 19 times for 92 yards. They could not get a running game established. Against Dallas, they rushed the ball 43 times for 273 yards.
Yeah.
If we are up on this team and we are scoring, I don't expect us to score 35 points in the first half. If our offense goes off and we can score 21 or more, this team's not going to be able to establish the run. They're going to have to be in a shootout. And this isn't a team. I don't even know if they did. If they relied on the run and ran it 43 times. There's no way they're running the ball for 200 yards against us.
No.
I just can't see it.
No. Well, and like I said, without Cup, remember in the last game, Cup beat us on a long touchdown, down the side of the field. They have no Cup now for that, And if they try to run, Gurley's not 100%.
Gurley wasn't the main Mike Tolbert. Tolbert.
Well, yeah.
Why not? What he looked like? I kept looking at him, going, "Man, this dude hasn't missed a meal since he left
out of retirement."
Yeah.
That's coming up. He's coming up. All right. We talk about him.
I am convinced that the reason now, sometimes, and I've talked about this in the past, sometimes it doesn't play out like you want. But the reason that the Saints didn't score a whole bunch in the first game, in the second half, and the Rams came back was because the Saints were trying to manage the game and run the clock out.
Yeah.
And I believe that they thought that their defense could hold, just like they did in the first half, and that they would play ball like they've been playing recently, which is just tough defense. They're going to score. They're going to get some points, but there's not enough time on the clock. And the problem was that the Rams maybe played a little better than they expected. They didn't run the ball very much, and this is a pet peeve of mine when people are like, oh, well, they didn't run it. Well, hell, how are you going to run the ball when the other team scores 35 points in the first half? Would you just keep running the ball in there for 2 yards, especially against the number one at the time, defense against the run? So I'm kind of agreeing with – not kind of, I'm agreeing with you, Wesley, is the difference between the Philadelphia game this time and the first time is we didn't hit that first pass again. Had we hit that first pass again – I think the game is completely different.
No, absolutely.
The Saints played from behind, and that's why it was a close game. If the Saints, and I'm hoping – now, look, we kind of tying all the show together so far, at least I am. If the Saints knocked off the rust and can come out and take advantage of the Rams, what I find to be average – I feel like I have to give them a little more credit, above average defense. If they can jump on them and score and not allow them to just sit there and run Gurley and run Anderson – I think that this could end up being a just as bad a beating. And I want to say this. I didn't say that about the Eagles. I knew it would not be a beatdown for the Eagles. I don't know why necessarily matchups, but I've been hearing this. Wesley, you give me your thoughts. I've been hearing this. The Saints match up better against the Rams than they did against the Eagles.
I think they match up much better against them. I mean, in the defensive line, Seth says like the thing of that it keeps supposed to stand out against the Rams. But their defense is not good. They're going to have a lot of problems. Their linebackers are not fast enough at all to deal with Kamara.
Nope.
And if they are going to have to set a safety or a cornerback to mess with Kamara because they do not have a linebacker that can do it, that means they cannot double Michael Thomas.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but Akeem Talib and Marcus Peters don't have a shot in the world one-on-one with Michael Thomas. So they cannot – just put that together. They can't double Michael Thomas because they have to watch Kamara.
Well,
and nobody can watch him can one-on-one on that other team.
Okay, so one of the things I was thinking about is remember Jimmy Graham when we played Denver and Talib, and it frustrated me because he's 260 pounds, and how come he didn't just say, Drew, I'm taking this playoff and just get a 15-yard penalty and beat the crap? Michael Thomas will do that to Talib, what I wanted Jimmy Graham to do to him, because Talib was being so physical.
Well, Michael Thomas will catch the ball anyway, and that'll frustrate Talib.
Oh, absolutely.
More.
Yeah. One way or another.
See, Jimmy Graham wasn't going to catch the ball.
And Talib is not the same player he was back then.
No.
Michael Thomas is just as fit, more physical than he is.
Absolutely.
And more physical than Jimmy Graham was back in the day. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We come back, hour number two. Don't go anywhere.
Nobody don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, God, give your time to David, Heath, and Thomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday. So don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday. So don't. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.